Before we begin today's little scene from A Christmas Carol, or I guess rather a continuation of the scene where Marley's ghost confronts Scrooge, I just want to say that I don't think weekend recordings are the way that I will be proceeding going forward. I underestimated how much I like a quiet start on Saturday mornings without, not necessarily a care in the world, because I do have cares in the world on Saturday morning. But yeah, I think I want to keep my weekends to myself, and it's important to identify your own personal boundaries and play within them. And as soon as that boundary gets pushed, it no longer feels like play. And I really want to continue this little holiday experiment as playtime. So expect slightly longer voice memos on the weekdays. And if we really need to push into the weekends, I'll do that. But, you know, maybe consider the next 2 days as a special first Sunday of Advent gift. Okay, enough of me talking at you about my reasoning for not wanting to do this on weekends. Boundaries are important. Yeah, let's get back to the story. To sit, staring at those fixed, glazed eyes in silence for a moment would play, Scrooge felt, the very deuce with him. There was something very awful, too, in the specter's being provided with an infernal atmosphere of its own. Scrooge could not feel it himself, but this was clearly the case, for though the ghost sat perfectly motionless, its hair and skirts and tassels were still agitated as by the hot vapor from an oven. "You see this toothpick," said Scrooge, returning quickly to the charge, for the reason just as assigned, and wishing, though it were only for a second, to divert the vision's stony gaze from himself. "I do," replied the ghost. "You are not looking at it," said Scrooge. "But I see it," said the ghost, "notwithstanding." "Well," returned Scrooge, "I have but to swallow this and be good for the rest of my days persecuted by a legion of goblins, all of my own creation. Humbug, I tell you, humbug!" At this the spirit raised a frightful cry and shook its chain with such a dismal and appalling noise that Scrooge held on tight to his chair to save himself from falling in a swoon. But how much greater was his horror when the phantom, taking off the bandage round its head as if it were too warm to wear indoors, its lower jaw dropped down upon its breast. Scrooge fell upon his knees and clasped his hands before his face. "Mercy," he said, "dreadful apparition, why do you trouble me?" "Man of the worldly mind," replied the ghost, "do you believe in me or not?" "I do," said Scrooge. "I must. But why do spirits walk the earth, and why do they come to me?" "It is required of every man," said the ghost returned, "that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world. Oh, woe is me, and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth and turned to happiness." Again the spectre raised a cry and shook its chain and wrung its shadowy hands. "You are fettered," said Scrooge, trembling. "Tell me why." "I wear the chain I forged in life," replied the ghost. "I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you?" Scrooge trembled more and more. "Or would you know," pursued the ghost, "the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was full as heavy and as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain. Scrooge glanced about him on the floor, in the expectation of finding himself surrounded by some 50 or 60 fathoms of iron cable, but he could see nothing. "Jacob," he said imploringly, "old Jacob Marley, tell me more, speak comfort to me, Jacob." "I have none to give," the ghost replied. "It comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge, and is conveyed by other ministers to other kinds of men. Nor can I tell you what I would. A very little more is all permitted to me. I cannot rest, I cannot stay, I cannot linger anywhere. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house. Mark me, in life my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hole, and weary journeys lie before me." It was a habit with Scrooge, whenever he became thoughtful, to put his hands in his breeches pockets. Pondering on what the ghost had said, he did so now, but without lifting up his eyes or getting off his knees. "You must have been very slow about it, Jacob," Scrooge observed in a businesslike manner, though with humility and deference.
"Slow," the ghost repeated.
7 years dead," mused Scrooge, "and traveling all the time." "The whole time," said the ghost. "No rest, no peace. Incessant torture of remorse." "You travel fast," said Scrooge.
"On the wings of the wind," replied the ghost.
"You might have got over a great quantity of ground in 7 years," said Scrooge. The ghost, on hearing this, set up another cry and clanked its chains so hideously in the dead silence of the night that the ward would have been justified in indicating it for a nuisance.
"Oh, captive, bound, and double ironed," cried the phantom, "not to know that ages of incessant labor by immortal creatures for this earth must pass into eternity before the good of which it is susceptible is all developed. Not to know that any Christian spirit working kindly in its little sphere, whatever it may be, will find its mortal life too short for its vast means of usefulness. Not to know that no space of regret can make amends for one's life opportunity misused. Yet such was I, oh, such was I.
But you were always a good man of business, Jacob," faltered Scrooge, who now began to apply this to himself.
"Business," cried the ghost, wringing his hands. "Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business."
It held up a chain at arm's length, as if that were the cause of all its unavailing grief, and flung it heavily upon the ground again. And that, my friends, is quite enough for this Saturday morning at 10:26 a.m. as this approaches the 10-minute mark. Let me know how this felt for you today. I'm happy to be here and to make this work as best for you as possible. Thank you for letting me into your ear holes on this special Saturday edition of Courtney Reads You a Christmas Carol because she wanted to. I love you all so very much. I hope you have restful weekends or busy weekends or whatever kind of weekend you need to have. Take good care of your hearts, and I will talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.